Hello, thank you very much for joining us today for Diversity and Leadership of the Workplace Reimagined. My name is Jim Woods. I'll be your host, and my guest is a celebrated author, Dr. Lori Weiss. How are you doing, ma'am?
I am doing great. It's wonderful to be here with you.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted. We've had you on our previous podcast before, and you're just extraordinary, and our listeners really learned quite a bit by listening to you. Now, tell me something about your book that you have out. I was just looking at it on Amazon.
Well, I've written 13 books.
Yes, so, you mentioned that.
The two I think that we're going to talk about are these two.
Yes.
Which are Letting It Go, Relieve Anxiety and Toxic Stress in Just a Few Minutes,
yes,
Using Only Words. And this one, which I think probably your audience is even more interested in, is Embrace Prosperity, Resolve the Blocks to Experiencing Abundance. I am not a financial advisor, but I have a lot to say about it.
Okay, great. So tell me about the last book.
Okay. Well, it goes back to the first book because I learned a way that shocked me when I learned it after 40 years as a psychotherapist and a consultant and things like that. It was like, it can't be this easy to resolve the kinds of issues that people used to take months to work on. And when I found that out, I started applying that technique in all kinds of ways. And this book is a combination of my ideas and the ideas of the person who developed that technique in Switzerland, mm-hmm, because we are both comfortably retired, although we're still doing things because we want to, because it's fun, and because we still have so much to give to the world.
Yes.
So we decided to write this together because we each have a perspective. He grew up in post-war Europe. And I grew up in the abundance of the US.
Yes.
And yet we still have the same issues in many ways. And the issues about prosperity don't have to do with how much money you have. What they have to do is the kinds of things that you've learned to believe. And we learn to believe all kinds of stuff when we are so little that the giants around us are telling us what the world is like. And they said, money doesn't grow on trees. So of course it doesn't. And they said, make sure you can, this is from Europe. Make sure you can buy new shoes before you discard the old ones. And he said he had cardboard in his shoes.
Yes.
For years. And things like, you'll never amount to anything, or you can't do any better than I did. Things that we just hear them. Or girls can't do that. You know, let your husband do that for you.
So you hit on some really significant points just now, because I think all of our listeners, everyone can relate to everyone you just offered. That you're never going to mount anyone, you can't do that, or you shouldn't do that. Now, we've been hearing in the news lately quite a bit about how much the economy is trying to ward off a recession and so on, or stagnation, if you will. And I heard two people at the gas pump on the PBS the other day, and one was saying that there is no longer a middle class, that it's only the extreme rich or the extreme poor. Then I heard another person say that that's true, but your attitude can also be that, hey, this is going to serve me. I'm going to make the best out of it right now because I know that opportunities are still there.
Sure. Yes. And it depends on how we look at it. And that is so based on our past experience.
Yes.
And our past experience can be either full of enlightenment, like the second person. There's opportunity. There's always a way. We can figure it out. Or will never make it. And it depends, you know. Do you know about adverse childhood experiences?
No, ma'am.
There was a study, this is real numbers, real facts, that says that there are about 10 things that happen to children that make them much more likely to have difficult lives. And the difficult lives can be about physical illnesses and things like that. And there are ordinary things like divorce, like a parent being ill, like living in poverty, being in a situation that can't be helped, where everybody is upset, all things like that, that happen so much of the time that so many of the population has them. And each time they do, we have this broad view of the world when we're born. And then we are shaped by what we need to do to get along with the people who are taking care of us. And sometimes what we need to do to get along with the people who are taking care of us is suppress our enthusiasm.
So, Dr. Weiss, so I'm curious, forgive me for cutting you off, but what is it that some people go like an oyster, they go whichever the way the tide moves in, then there's others that make intentional decisions. How do we get ourselves on the right track so we can decide, we can actually know that we have the power to choose?
We have to notice what we react to. You know, some people react like, the oyster. Mm-hmm. I guess that was like that anyway. Yes. and some people don't have that. They react to other things. We all react to something, but some people react to smiles. Oh, wow, the world is wonderful. And other people react to smiles like, oh, that means they want to get something from me. Mm-hmm. Because we all have events in our past that trigger us. And it might have happened last week or yesterday, or it might have happened 50 years ago and you've long since forgotten it. But those events trigger us to react to things now. If we can learn to notice what triggers us, then we can control ourselves. First of all, we can use this process that I have, just some sentences to say that dissolve the trigger if we want to.
Yes.
That I think is the best way. That's like cleaning house and making it go away. And it's easy to do. Or we can at least learn to say, okay, I can take a deep breath here. I'm being triggered by this old thing that doesn't have any relevance in today's world. So two different pathways, and both can take volumes to explain. Well, mine only takes one volume.
But what you're saying, in our work, we do diversity and inclusion training for organizations, individuals and all. But it comes down to that study by, I think it was Alba Bandura, we talked about self-efficacy. And your work talks something similar, where you talk about letting go of the stress and recognizing you do have a choice. And it is based upon your thinking. It doesn't mean everybody's out to get you. And I've discovered that over the years, that even when we talk about diversity and inclusion, there's so many people, it doesn't matter if they're Black, LGBTQ, it doesn't matter what they are, or women or whatever. It just means that somehow it's our perception.
Yes.
It's our perception. Not everybody's out to get us because we're Black or short or too tall or whatever it is.
And some people are.
Yes.
So it's like, how do we tell the difference?
Yes.
And how do we respond anyhow instead of reacting? Because even if somebody is out to get us, it does have malicious intent. We can fight back, or we can stop and think and say, what are they trying to do? What are they afraid of? and decide how to respond. But we have to learn to take charge of ourselves first.
We absolutely do. You know, I have lived in places all my life as an adult where I have been the only Black person. And I've done that because I raised my kids in that atmosphere, because I want them to recognize that not everybody's out to hurt you. And even if someone has malicious intent, our attitude, sometimes my attitude, can change the situation.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's good. I really enjoy reading your book.
Oh, thank you. Which one did you read?
I read Letting Go. Uh-huh. I haven't read the one you showed last yet, the one in Abundance of Prosperity.
Uh-huh, Embrace Prosperity.
Yes, yeah. I have to read that one next.
Oh, you did enjoy Letting Go. So you know what the technique is. Have you used it?
I have used part of it. I don't know if I used it the right way,
There's no wrong way.
It means a lot to me because I could see myself. And as I spoke to someone earlier about change, I could see how I don't have to keep doing the finger pointing or trying to change everyone else, that I can turn the fingers back to myself and I can work on Jim Woods here.
You know, as a therapist, we always found that when people changed themselves, that they said things like, oh, my boss is different.
Yes. That is exactly right. In fact, Zig Ziglar tells a wonderful story of that, about a woman who didn't like anything at work, didn't like her boss or coworkers, anything. Then he gave her a list of things that were so positive about her work. Did you do this? Did you get this? You get this? It was a long list of things she received from the job. And he said he came back later on in the same city several months later. She ran at the back of the stairs to him off stage. And she said, Mr. Ziglar, you won't believe how much those people at work changed. So it is remarkable.
And the thing is that you can force yourself to change. It's like we all have an automatic steering mechanism,
yes,
based on these past experiences. And with any automatic steering mechanism, you can push the wheel and go in a different direction, but you got to keep holding the wheel. Precisely. Or you can change the setting on the steering mechanism.
Yes.
So you can go in the direction you want to, but you have to, it's a little more maybe mysterious about how that change happens. I mean, maybe you want to share about something you did with Letting It Go that was helpful to you. I do things all the time.
Yes. In fact, I noticed that in my relationship with my wife, for example, you know, I don't, it gives me more patience. It makes me reflect internally, and it gives me more patience in dealing with myself and not seeing or trying to catch myself or even her doing something wrong, but being appreciative of all the things she does right. And it has improved our relationship immensely.
That makes a huge difference.
It does. And I quite honestly encourage all of our listeners to go to Amazon and look at the book for Letting Go by Dr. Lori Weiss. And go to her website. And how do they find you on your website, Doctor?
Very easy. LoriWeiss.com.
I can't encourage you enough. Right now, as people develop more negative thinking, you don't think that it's negative, you think it's realistic, but go to her. She can help you out personally. Her book is extraordinary. I highly encourage you to buy the book.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled, Jim. I didn't know that you had read it, and I'm so glad that you did.
I didn't just pick your name and throw you in here as a podcast guest. No, you are the real deal, ma'am. You know what you're talking about, and you do it in such a way that it's easy for people to grasp and can change your life. Not next year, now.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the thing. I think the thing that got me first when I was learning this is the time when I was always upset about being on an airplane. because it was so overstimulating and so noisy, and I would come home exhausted. And I did some of this work, and I forgot to be tired, and I forgot to be upset about it.
Yes.
And that never changed. That was 12 years ago. I'm still quite calm on a long flight. It's okay. You know, delays, whatever happens. All right. Wow. And it just, it stays. And it's so easy to do. So yes, please go to my website, because sort of a beginning is available for you for free for all your listeners. And that is called Reduce Worry Starting Now. And it helps you do the thinking, and then it introduces you to the words, but really introducing you to the words won't do enough. It really, really helps to read the book, both books.
Yes. I will, on the website for the podcast, I will list your website as well as where to find the books, and encourage people once more to go to you, because you have a matter of fact way of saying, of encouraging them and speaking to them. And I think they can actually, whatever their age is or wherever they are in life, right now is the time to do it with you, Dr. Weiss.
That is so affirming, because you do you know the story of how I had to write the book?
No, please tell me.
I got to write it. The developer of the process, which is called logosynthesis, is a Swiss psychologist. He's a brilliant man. He has studied all different kinds of psychological theories and spiritual theories. And he wrote a couple of books about this, but he is a Swiss-German academic.
Oh.
And so the books were very academic. One had to have a good background and read them very carefully in order to understand something that was so easy to use.
Yes.
I mean, there's a whole philosophy about it. And there, it, you know, if you really want to get into it, it can be a spiritual practice.
Yes.
Which is important, useful, valid. But I kept telling him, I know how to write things that people can understand and use. And he said, well, okay, write it. And so I did. And before it was done, I got an email from him that said, can I send this to so-and-so? Because it's better than what I wrote about it. So I was so thrilled. He has since learned to communicate much more clearly. He had better editors and things like that. So I'm not, I don't want to put him down, because he writes beautifully now, but he is still on the academic side, still on the theoretical side. But this, he saw this as the other part of it. I said, you know, will this interfere with the people who are studying the academic? He said, no, no, we need to get it out to the public, because once you start using it, it, well, it took away my license to suffer. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to get, oh, you know, look at what happened to me. Oh, darn, I'll be mad at them forever. Well, I started doing this, and it's like, I can't do that anymore.
What an excellent word to just use, taking away the license to suffer.
Mm-hmm. You know, bad things happen to us.
Yes.
That happens. And we can either deal with them and move on, or we can replay them over and over and over again and set up our lives to try and make sure they never happen to us again. Yes. And focus on the negative. Okay. That's what I call suffering. The unnecessary pain. Pain happens. It's just part of life. I mean, we're human. And we never, none of us have perfect parents. We never get all what we need. We just don't, because there are other people and we have to live with them, and they have things that oppose us. But when we replay it and feel the pain over and over and over again, when we don't have to, that is the thing that I don't do anymore. Or I might do it for maybe, you know, half an hour or so, and then I go, oh, you know, it just, this is silly.
Well, you find you have found a way to pull yourself out of the abyss.
I don't have to pull. That's mm-hmm. the fun thing. I don't have to pull. All I have to do is dissolve what's holding me in there. Yes. And that just takes a few sentences and a few minutes of reflection, as you've discovered.
Yes. So you make a life difference, and I appreciate it very much, your being here with us today. And ma'am, keep doing what you're doing.
I will. And okay. You too.
Yes.
Because you're spreading the word to people, you know, you're the intermediary that gets it, you know, go this way, not that way.
Well, it's people like you, with a sincere attitude of gratitude, that makes it easier. I wish you the best, ma'am, and thank you for being our guest.
Well, thank you very much.
You have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.